Good morning. I'm excited to be here this morning with you guys to continue worship through the proclamation of God's word. The sermon title for today is called The New Birth. The New Birth. And we're going to go out of John chapter 3, starting at verse 1 through 21. It's up on the screen. But before we get into that, I have a question for you. How many of you have been to Hawaii? Raise your hands. Good, good, good. It's an awesome place. And me and my wife actually got the privilege of going to Hawaii at the beginning of this summer. And this was a new experience for two reasons. The first, we've never been to Hawaii. And the second, it was our first vacation as a new family. Well, we learned something from this new experience of being a new family. And this was probably all on me, but we waited till the last night to pack. And I don't know if you've packed for a child before, but it takes a little longer than normal. You have to pack the diapers, the binkies. Eden was 6 months old at the time, so you had to pack milk. Yeah, just a lot more things to pack. Plus, we didn't pack for ourselves, so we decided to pack the night before, and we ended up staying up till 12:30, 1 o'clock, and we had an early flight the next day. We ended up getting about 3 hours of sleep, and we were flying out of Rapid City Regional, and so when we arrived at the regional airport, we had this massive bag. We call it the trunk. It's just huge, and I'm carrying in here. We looked like a new family, I'll tell you what. And we're carrying it up through here, and we get to the ticket counter, and, 50 pounds on the dot. It was like, wow, nice. We don't have to pay anything for that or any extra. And then we get our tickets, we check our bags, and we head to the security gate, the security checkpoint. If you don't know what that is, that's a place where you come through and they make sure that you don't have anything you're not supposed to, whether that's 1 ounce over like 3.5 ounces or something like that, or a bomb, either one. So, which is a good thing. It's a good thing. But before you get to the security gate, there's a podium kind of like this. I wish it had a cross on it. That'd be pretty cool. But there's a podium that a guy is at the gate and you have to hand him your ticket and your ID. And so we get up to this, we proceed to the security checkpoint, and we get there, and I hand him the tickets and ID, and he's going through, he takes mine and looks at it, checks it off. That's good, hands it back to me, gets to Brooks. Kind of had a weird look on his face, and you've got two of the same tickets, and he looks at me. And he wouldn't let my wife go through. So I did what any good husband would do. I proceeded down that checkpoint, and I went to Hawaii, had a great time. It was just awesome. No. Brooke went back, got her ticket, and proceeded and enjoyed Hawaii with me and Eden. As I reflected on this experience, there's two things that I learned. The first, don't wait till the night before to pack. It makes it a lot easier. You can sleep a lot more. The second was, and this is kind of obvious, but you need your own ticket to get past the security checkpoint to go onto your plane. And there's a ticket of Brooke's ticket behind us here that she went and received after hearing the news that we had both of our tickets. But as I really reflected on this second point, my thoughts concluded on this question. How do we enter the kingdom of God? How do we enter the kingdom of God? See, Brooke needed the ticket and her ID to get through the gate to enter the plane, to enter through the gate. So how do we enter the kingdom of God. Now, I want you to have this question on your mind. In fact, we're going to say it together here, and I'll lead. How do we enter the kingdom of God? So, like I said, we'll be reading out of John chapter 3, going for verse 1 through verse 21. We're going to split this up in sections here, and I'll read till verse 13. And it will be on the screen behind us. Now, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you're a teacher come from God, for no one can do the signs that you do unless God is with him." Jesus answered him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say unto you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I say to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sounds, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered him, "Are you the teacher of Israel, and yet do not understand these things? Truly, truly, I say unto you, we speak of what we know, and what we bear witness, of what we have seen. But you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you earthly things and do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you heavenly things?" So just comes some background here is that last week, Pastor Steve did an awesome message on the nighttime questioner, and I'd recommend if you haven't listened to it to go listen to it. But he brought up this idea that Nicodemus came to Jesus at night, and he expanded on this night as a period of maybe a dark area in your life or literally night, and you have questions about God. He also did a very good job in explaining who Nicodemus was. See, Nicodemus was a Pharisee, a ruler of the Jews. His job was to model and teach the law. That was his job. And so Nicodemus comes to him by night and is making a statement, really. He's like, "Jesus, we know you're from God because you're doing signs that only people from God can do." And Jesus comes with this statement that was kind of weird, and Pastor Steve touched on that last week as well. "Truly, truly, I say unto you, unless one is born again, cannot see the kingdom of God." And to me, Jesus right here is saying that you don't even see the work of God if you're not born again. You can't see the work of God. You can't see the kingdom if you're not born again. Nicodemus is kind of confused by this next question. Can a man be born twice when he's old? And my mother's not in the room, but I don't think she would like to born a 175-pound, 6-foot-1 man right now. So that would just not be fun. And so Jesus, I think, here clarifies in verse 5, which this passage in verse 5, which says, "Jesus answered, truly, truly, I say unto you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit cannot enter the kingdom of God." This has been debated for years of what this means to be born of water. And I'm not going to get into the debate here, but I'm going to give you my take. See, because Nicodemus asked this question about being born twice, literally, Jesus is saying born of water is just the natural birth. First of all, in the Greek, there is no word for amniotic fluid. There's just not. So what came out would have been water. He emphasizes this point in verse 6. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. And he goes to say you have to be born of both to even enter the kingdom of God. See, the physical birth isn't enough. Just being born isn't enough to enter the kingdom of God. You need to be born of the Spirit, being born again. See, being born again is our ticket into the kingdom of God. Being born again is our ticket into the kingdom of God. It is our only way into the kingdom. Just like Brooke had to have her ticket to get through the security gate, we need to be born again to enter the kingdom of God. And then John does this weird, kind of this metaphor, if you will, in verse 8, where he says, "The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So is it with everyone who is born of the Spirit." John uses this metaphor of the wind to describe the power of the Spirit in our lives. And a commentator says this: those who are born with the Spirit, John uses this metaphor of the wind as a power that is felt but unseen to explain the power of God within those who are born of the Spirit. See, this second birth, we can't see. Just like we can't see the wind, but we can see evidences of the wind, the leaves that blow. Even in here, if the wind was coming through here, you couldn't see it. You might see Jerry's hair flop back and forth, but no, you can't see it. The physical birth is not the same as being born again. Being born again is our ticket into the kingdom of God. As we go on, Nicodemus is like, how can these things be? And Jesus does this rebuke. And I think he does this rebuke for two reasons. First of all, Nicodemus, like I said earlier, was a Pharisee. He was supposed to know the law, know the scriptures, and he was supposed to teach it and model it. And this term, born again, which was mentioned last week as well, is not a native term to Christianity. It was actually when a Gentile came in and wanted to be a part of the Jewish way that they were born again. And that process was called being born again. So being born again was something, a familiar term to him. Also, I think it was a neglect of the scriptures. See, in Ezekiel 37, God promises to put a new spirit into dry bones. He's talking about the Holy Spirit, being born of the Spirit. And so, because he didn't even know the things he had in the scriptures, the earthly things, how was he supposed to know about the heavenly things to come? See, Jesus makes this point here that we must be born of the Spirit. But what does that mean, and how does that happen? That's the questions that proceed next. What does it mean to be born again? Well, as we continue to read, starting at verse 13, Jesus delivers on this. "No one has ascended into heaven except he who has descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world, he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and the people loved the darkness rather than the light, because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God. See, I brought that question up, is how do we know we're born again? How are we to be born again? Here Jesus, in verse 13, explains himself. He's proclaiming himself. No one has ascended into heaven except he who has descended into heaven. He's proclaiming himself. And then you get to verse 15, or 14. And Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. See, Jesus is proclaiming, he's prophesying of his death, the death to come. And for those of you who don't really know that Moses story, that scripture, you want to put a picture on the screen here? See, Moses was in the wilderness for 40 years, was the Israelites. And they were disobeying God and going through the wilderness. And there comes a point in the books of Numbers in chapter 21 where the Israelites are sinning against God, and God sends fiery or venomous or poisonous vipers to bite them. And it was killing them. And the people came up to Moses like, "Moses, help us out here. We're getting bitten by snakes, and they're killing us." And Moses goes up to God and says, "God, the Israelites are complaining that they're getting bitten by snakes. I don't blame them." And God says to Moses, "Grab a bronze snake, put it on your staff, and have the Israelites who are bitten look into the eyes, and they will be healed." And it was so. See, not only does he prophesize of his cross, his death on the cross, but he also prophesies that our iniquity would be healed, just as the Israelites were healed. He also prophesies that we would be saved from our iniquity, our sin, in this. In verse 15, it says, "And whoever believes in him will have eternal life." Whoever believes in the one that was lifted up for each one of us will have eternal life. But let me clarify with this word believe. This word believe isn't how I believe the American culture perceives it today. The American culture would say, "Oh, I like that idea. Yeah, I can believe in that, you know?" And it's just, that's not what this is saying. See, the best way I can explain this is that I used to work at an automotive oil and tire place in Walmart Automotive, actually. But my job there was to change tires, do oil. But as I came to know more about oil, I actually have like a favorite one that I trust, and that is Mobil 1. And Mobil 1 is one I use in my vehicles, but I believe in the product of Mobil 1. If I believe in something, I actually use it. I pour it down the oil spigot and it goes into my engines, and I entrust it. Believing means entrusting in Jesus, entrusting our lives in Jesus. That's what it means to believe on him, to believe that he was the Son of God who came down for our sins. And we entrust in that. We give our lives in that. We entrust Jesus into our lives. That's what it means to believe. We are born again by entrusting our lives into Jesus. When we believe in Jesus and who he was and what he did. For God so loved the world, he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. And there's this a cool aspect here. This only Son, menogenes in Greek, means the only one of his kind. The only one that will ever will be. There's no other. There's no other. He's the only way to be born again. And that the world might be saved through him. Through him. See, there's this part, through him, that our culture has kind of told us a lie about. Oh, all roads go to heaven. All roads go to heaven. That's, you know, that it's so easy to believe in that. It's just so unresistant. I don't have to do anything. All roads go to heaven. That's the biggest deceit the enemy throws at us, I believe. The world can only be saved through Jesus Christ. And then Jesus kind of says this hard thing in verse 18. This hard phrase. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but those who haven't believed in him are already condemned. And see, you got to think of it as this, as kind of like a job process here. See, you apply for a job. Do you have the job yet? No. If you get an interview for the job, do you have the job yet? No. If you are offered the job, do you have a job yet? No. It's when you accept the job itself, your status changed to an employee. It's when you believe in Jesus Christ, your status changed to being born again, to be a child of God. Those who do not believe will perish. That's the reality of it. But God sent his Son for you. Just because Jesus came to earth does not mean everyone is saved. How do we know we are born again? See, in verse 19 and 20 and 21 shows this. And this is the judgment. The light has come in the world. The judgment is the light, and the light is the judgment. Does that make sense? The judgment is the light. And people loved darkness and came into the world. And the light has come in the world, and people loved darkness rather than the light because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. See, what this light does is it does three things. It reveals evil and wickedness. It reveals a need for a savior. And it shows those who are born again. The light reveals who we are. An example of just the evil deeds and why the people who love the darkness don't come to the light is because they don't know the light. It's new to them. I don't know if you've ever been in a dark room and you turn on the light and it's like, ah, man, you're so adjusted to it and it kind of hurts your eyes. They're not used to it. Another example is in my own life is when I was in high school, I used to play a lot of video games. I just, hours on end, and my grades were slipping, and my stepdad came and took away my Xbox controller and put it on the couch, like he should. But in the middle of the night, he left it on the couch, and he went to bed. I went and grabbed that Xbox controller, and I played all night. I mean, I was up till 3, 4 in the morning having fun. And then because I was up so late, I fell asleep, and I didn't put the controller back to hide my disobedience. So I was confronted by my stepdad. And he caught me, and I tried to lie to him, saying, I didn't play it or anything. And he caught me, and he said this phrase that stuck with me till today. "You're mad because I caught you lying." And I hated it. I did. I hated it. I hated being exposed to the light. And because I have fallen short, because we have fallen short, there's a bridge that needs to be gapped. That reveals a need for a Savior. Reveals a need for Jesus Christ. How we know, how there's evidence of those who are born again, we see in verse 21 here. But whoever does what is true should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to light so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God. See, those who seek what is true, this in my opinion, are actively seeking God. This is what it means to be born again. This is a sign that we are actively seeking God. We aren't just believing and staying still. We're actually coming to the light. We're coming to the light. We're no more pursuing darkness, but we're coming to the light. And a guy by the name of Paul Washer says this. He has a lot of people that come and ask him questions, and he says this. Those people come up to him and say, Paul, I have a new relationship with God. And Paul says, well, that's great. But do you have a new relationship with sin? Because if you don't have a new relationship with sin, you don't have a new relationship with God. And what Paul is saying here is that if you're still seeking sin, you don't have a relationship with God. It's not new. You are just still in your old ways. You may tap on the other side to test the waters, but you're still seeking sin. You must have a new relationship with God, is actively seeking him and coming to the light, not to the darkness. An example of this is, I don't know, for those of you who have children and they have a good report card, what do? They come straight to you and they're like, look what I did. Yeah, I did this. You know, I obeyed you. I had good grades. And, you know, they want you to see their good deeds. And I was probably on the other spectrum for most of my life where I don't think the grades are coming in here today, Dad. I think they come in next week. And, yeah, it's in my backpack. I didn't know that. Yeah, you know. And they're ashamed. They don't want to go to the light because they're being exposed. See, the light reveals who we are. That's how we know we are born again. And here's the thing. Everyone in this room, in this world, has a chance to be born again. Everyone in this world has a chance to be born again, except Jesus Christ as their Savior. Be pardoned from their iniquity by the turning and believing in Jesus Christ. Before we conclude here today, I have a question for you. Do you have your ticket into the kingdom of God? Do you have your ticket into the kingdom of God? Have you entrusted Jesus into your life? Have you made that commitment? Make August 12th, 2018, the day that you entrust Jesus Christ into your life to be born again, to enter the kingdom of God, to see the kingdom of God. His grace is here now and forevermore. Do you have your ticket? Let us pray. Gracious and merciful Father, thank you for your Son, who you have sent down, who you have allowed to be on the cross for our sins, that we may have eternal life, that we may enter the kingdom of God, Lord. And if there's someone here today that hasn't made that commitment, and you're pulling on their heart right now, Lord, speak to them. Lord, help us that have accepted your grace and entrusted Jesus in our life to actively seek him, to be born again believers, being born with the Spirit. Lord, you are good and merciful, and we love you with all our heart and pray this in the powerful and precious only Son of God, Jesus Christ. Amen.